Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Marcia James, Dan Friedel, and Brian Lynn. We will also tell you what's trending today, and later, Jill Robbins and John Russell will have this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, Brazil's new president has appealed for national unity after lawmakers voted to remove Dilma Rousseff from the office Wednesday. In a speech to the nation, President Michel Temer said the vote in the Senate was open and democratic. He called it a moment of hope to reclaim confidence in Brazil. And he urged Brazilians to put the national interest above group interests. The Senate impeachment and conviction of Rousseff ends 13 years of rule by the Workers' Party of Rousseff and former President Luiz Ignacio Lula da Silva. The Senate voted 61-20 to end the presidency of Brazil's first female leader. She was found guilty of violating budgetary laws in an effort to improve her chances of re-election in 2014. Rousseff faced questions about the case for 14 hours on Monday. Her removal raises questions about the future of social programs, which are said to have lifted millions of Brazilians out of poverty. After the vote, Rousseff called her removal an attempt to seize power and restated that she was innocent of the charges. In a statement, she said, "They decided to interrupt the mandate of a president who had committed no crime. They have convicted an innocent person and carried out a parliamentary coup." Mark Jones is a Latin American expert at Rice University in Houston, Texas. He told VOA that Brazil is deeply divided and faces difficult economic problems. Jones called Temer, who had been Rousseff's vice president, a dealmaker who is willing to make compromises to get things done. Temer's Democratic Movement Party had ruled in a coalition with Rousseff's Workers' Party until now. Jones called the charges against Rousseff comparatively minor. He said they did not involve personal enrichment or illegal payments. He added that Rousseff faced public anger over suspected corruption involving her party. He said that had Brazil's economy been growing instead of shrinking, Rousseff would likely still be in office.
People in parts of Africa witnessed a ring of fire in the sky Thursday, created by the moon passing between the Earth and the Sun. The solar event is called an annular eclipse. A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon gets in the way of the sun and blocks its light. An annular eclipse happens when the moon does not completely block the sun, leaving a ring of sunlight around the moon. For those who saw it, Thursday's ring of fire eclipse appeared as red rings of sunlight shining around the moon's dark shape. Thursday's eclipse began shortly after 6 UTC. It ended at about 12 UTC. C. Alex Young is a solar astrophysicist with the American Space Agency, NASA. He told the New York Times that much of the sun was blocked out. People who saw the eclipse saw circular shadows, he said. He called the shadows kind of eerie. The event was the second solar eclipse of 2016. The first was a total eclipse and took place in March. It was visible to people in Indonesia and other places in the Pacific. Another annular solar eclipse will occur in February 2017. Next August, a total solar eclipse will be visible in the United States. I'm Marcia James.
Korean-American filmmaker Grace Lee grew up in Columbia, Missouri. There were not many other Asian families in the university town in the Midwestern part of the U.S. When she was a girl, her family tried to fit in with American culture. That culture included food. We sort of kept our kimchi to ourselves in our basement refrigerator, Lee says. Kimchi is a well-known Korean condiment made from fermented cabbage, radish, scallion, or cucumber. But in the 1970s and 1980s, when Lee was young, people in places like Columbia, Missouri, would never have known what kimchi was. We never exposed it to anybody, Lee says. Over 30 years later, food culture in the U.S. has changed a lot. Kimchi is now found as a condiment on American foods like hamburgers. Lee wanted to examine the evolution of Asian food in America in her documentary, Off the Menu. It came out in 2015. Lee's work is now available on DVD and as part of the American Film Showcase. The program brings documentaries and independent films to audiences around the world. The showcase is part of a program supported by the U.S. Department of State and produced by the University of Southern California. Audiences in countries like Armenia, Nepal, and Vietnam See American Films. Experts lead discussions about the films as a way to help people around the world better understand American culture. Lee traveled around the U.S. to make her movie about Asian food. She did not think tofu would be a very popular food in a state like Texas. She spoke with Texan Gary Chu, the son of immigrants from Taiwan. He runs the oldest tofu factory in Texas. Chu said he makes both tofu egg rolls, a traditional Asian food, and tofu tamales. Tamales are a traditional food from Mexico. Lee says Chu's business is an example of fusion, mixing the food from the culture of China, Mexico, and Texas. Some people say food helps the healing process. Lee wanted to find out if that was true. In 2012, six members of a Sikh temple in the Midwest state of Wisconsin were killed. A man with a gun entered the temple and started shooting as people in the temple were getting ready for a meal called langar. Lee talked with people from that temple. They told her they continued the tradition of langar even after the shooting. They said it helped heal the community. You can't pray, you can't be in tune with God, unless your belly is full, one temple member said in the film. Off the Menu ends its 60-minute tour of the U.S. in Hawaii. One family still tries to practice the traditional Hawaiian large meal called a luau. Although much of the food consumed by Hawaiians is imported, Hi'ile Cavello says she and her family try to catch seafood just like their ancestors did. In the film, she tells Lee, "When you eat it, you're eating the essence of all the skills passed down from generation to generation." The Center for Asian American Media, which helped pay for the film, also talked with Lee about her film. She said she hoped the documentary would help people learn more about what it means to be Asian American. She wants viewers to learn about the people behind the food that has become a big part of life in the U.S. To really do the topic justice, we'd probably need an ongoing series, Lee said. I'm Dan Friedel.
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg met Pope Francis at the Vatican Monday and gave him a high-tech gift, a drone. However, it was not a working drone. His gift was a model of the aircraft Facebook plans to use to bring internet access to people in developing countries. Zuckerberg posted a picture on Facebook showing him presenting the model drone to the Pope at his Santa Marta residence in Vatican City. "We gave him a model of Aquila, our solar-powered aircraft that will beam internet connectivity to places that don't have it," he explained. The businessman's wife, Priscilla Chan, also attended. Zuckerberg said they were touched by the meeting. You can feel his warmth and kindness and how deeply he cares about helping people. He praised Pope Francis for finding new ways to communicate with people of every faith around the world. The Facebook founder and his wife launched the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative in December 2015. He said he spoke with the Pope about the initiative's goal to advance human potential and promote equality in all parts of the world. The organization works on many issues. They include personal learning, fighting disease, connecting people, and building strong communities, according to information on its website. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke said one topic discussed was how to use communication technologies to alleviate poverty, encourage a culture of encounter, and make a message of hope arrive, especially to those most in need. Zuckerberg announced he was traveling to Italy after a deadly 6.2 magnitude earthquake struck the country last week. Nearly 300 people died in the quake, which hit the central part of the country. In a Facebook post, he expressed concern for victims of the earthquake and their loved ones. Facebook has tried to improve communication during disasters. A few years ago, it launched its safety check system. The program allows users to let loved ones know they are okay after a disaster or terrorist attack. In Italy, Zuckerberg held a live question and answer session with Facebook community members. The Facebook founder also met in Rome with Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi. He said the two discussed the earthquake and how technology is creating jobs to help Italy's economy. Zuckerberg spoke about Facebook's efforts to provide equipment to researchers across Europe to study artificial intelligence. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is what's trending today. American Bill Nye is a science educator, actor, and writer. Nye is probably best known as the presenter and star of Bill Nye, the Science Guy, a television program from the 1990s. The show explained science to children in an enjoyable, humorous way. 100 episodes of The Science Guy were shown on public broadcasting service television stations across the United States. Teachers also played videos of the program in classrooms. Americans who grew up in the 1990s may still recognize and remember the show's opening music. For many young people, Bill Nye helped make science fun and interesting. The U.S. television industry recognized him for his work on the children's show. Now, almost 20 years after the show ended, Bill Nye is getting a new show. The streaming service Netflix announced this week that it will release Bill Nye Saves the World next year. The new talk show will deal with issues related to science. It will include special guests and scientific demonstrations from Bill Nye himself. Americans who grew up watching The Science Guy reacted with excitement on social media. Bill Nye trended on Twitter and Facebook. One Twitter user wrote, "This might be the best news of 2016. Another wrote, "Bill Nye is going to have a show on Netflix, so everything is right in the world again." Netflix hopes its large audience of millennials, the young people who watched the children's show, will now want to see Bill Nye Saves the World. The show will be released in the spring of 2017. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. English has many patterns. Basic grammatical patterns can explain the structure of around 95% of sentences in English, says Martha Kohn, a grammar expert. Learning and mastering these patterns can help you improve your writing and speaking skills. We have discussed three common patterns in previous Everyday Grammar stories. Today, we will explore another common pattern, the intransitive verb pattern. To start you thinking about intransitive verbs, consider this passage. It is from the poem The Human Family by famous writer and poet Maya Angelou.
We love and lose in China. We weep on England's moors, and laugh and moan in Guinea, and thrive on Spanish shores.
By the end of this story, you will be able to recognize and understand the intransitive verb pattern that Angelou uses many times in the stanza.
The intransitive verb pattern is unusual. It is unusual because, unlike other verb patterns, the predicate requires only the verb. Common intransitive verbs include action verbs: go, come, walk, cry, or laugh, for example. In these verbs, the subject's action is not applied to an object. In other words, most intransitive verbs can end sentences. They do not need nouns or adjectives to their right. The lines from the classic American song Just Friends give an example of the intransitive verb pattern in its most basic form.
We love, we laughed, we cried.
However, sentences with just the subject and intransitive verb are not very common in writing or speaking. Usually, the sentence has more information, an adverbial structure.
Adverbials are words or phrases that give information about time, place, manner, or reason. Adverbials answer questions like how often, where, why, when. The two most common adverbial structures you will find are adverbs and prepositional phrases. Adverbs such as suddenly, quickly, here, soon, or sometimes modify a verb. Prepositional phrases are groups of words that begin with a preposition and are followed by an object, usually a noun phrase. Common prepositions include in, on, at, between, above, and below. Adverbs and prepositional phrases often follow intransitive verbs. Think back to the basic intransitive verb pattern.
Subject plus intransitive verb.
It is grammatically correct to say a simple sentence like this.
We laughed, or subject plus intransitive verb.
You can put more information into the sentence by adding an adverb.
We laughed loudly, or subject plus intransitive verb plus adverb.
Or you could give even more information by adding a prepositional phrase.
We laughed at the man's silly jokes. Or subject plus intransitive verb plus prepositional phrase.
In intransitive verb patterns, adverbs or prepositional phrases are often referred to as optional. In other words, a sentence is still grammatical without them. You, as the speaker or writer, choose how much information you want to include in the sentence.
Now, think back to the stanza of Maya Angelou's poem.
We love and lose in China. We weep on England's moors, and laugh and moan in Guinea, and thrive on Spanish shores.
You can see that every single line uses an intransitive verb paired with a prepositional phrase. Consider the first line, we love and lose in China. The subject is we, and two intransitive verbs, love and lose, are paired with the prepositional phrase in China. The two verbs are joined by a conjunction, and.
We love and lose in China, or subject plus intransitive verb plus conjunction plus optional subject plus intransitive verb plus prepositional phrase.
The second line follows the basic intransitive verb pattern, but it has an optional prepositional phrase.
We weep on England's moors, or subject plus intransitive verb plus prepositional phrase.
The second two lines follow the same patterns as the first two lines. This series of patterns is an example of parallelism, which you can read about in an earlier Everyday Grammar story.
To practice using the intransitive verb pattern, try writing four lines of poetry in the style of Angelou's poem.
Remember, you should not use Angelou's exact words. Rather, you should choose your own noun phrases, intransitive verbs, and prepositional phrases. Just put your own words into the pattern we discussed today.
Learning this pattern and other patterns discussed in previous grammar stories will not only help you study the writing of great authors, these patterns will help you write and speak in your own clear, concise sentences too. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.